understands. You know what? He not only understands, but He cares. He cares, and we're thankful about that. Turn tonight in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15 tonight. And wake up, because you should have slept in between services today. If you didn't, you're not sleeping tonight. So stay awake. Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. In the Word of God. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 15. We're going to start reading. We're going to read the first verse as we did this morning, and we'll be off and running. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this service you've given us tonight. Thank you for all the specials, the songs, the singing. It's been great, Lord, and it's been a blessing to my heart. Thank you for those that have labored and, Lord, practiced and worked and did a beautiful job. But, Lord, now we trust you for this hour of preaching. And you've told us that you've ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. You've ordained preaching to speak to our hearts and your word. So I pray tonight you would bless the word of God that heralds forth. I pray you would cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach tonight only what thus saith the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember, of course, this morning, just by way of recap and refresher, we began a series on living your God-given dream. And the first message was on delivering on your God-given dream. Delivering on your God-given dream. And we talked this morning about the fact that if we're going to be able to stay the course, if we're going to be able to see our God-given dream realized, then we're going to have to expect our dream to be tested. Expect our dream to be tested, because it's going to be tested. We talked about it be tested by famine. It'll be tested by failure. It'll be tested by conflict. It'll be tested by war and fightings. It'll be tested by prosperity. And our dream and God's will for our lives is going to be tested. That's what we talked about this morning. What I want to talk to you about tonight is when that dream is tested, and it's going to be tested, what are some things that we can do to stay the course right out of this passage? First of all, we said that we have to expect your dream to be tested. But I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, we need to encourage ourselves by God's Word. Encourage ourselves by God's Word. The Bible says here, the Word of the Lord came on to Abram. The Bible says, after these things, after what things? After the testings, after the trials, after the tears and after the fears, after all the conflicts and after all the things, the problems, the word of the Lord came on to Abram. In other words, Abram was encouraged by the word of God. The word of the Lord came on to Abram. Never forget that God always knows where you are. Tears are a language that God understands. Never forget the fact that God not only knows where you are, but He cares about where you are. And in your time of need, the word of the Lord came on to Abram. We need to encourage ourselves in the word of God. I want to tell you something tonight. There has been many times in my life, and I know there'll be many more, that I would not have stayed the course if I did not have the Word of God. We need to learn how to lean on the Word. The Bible tells us of a man, a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. This prophet, Jeremiah, had become discouraged. He had become discouraged living his God-given dream. There's no doubt about what that dream was for Jeremiah. The Bible tells us, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, very familiar verse, "Before I formed thee in the belly," God's talking to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb, I knew thee and sanctified thee a prophet. I ordained thee a prophet among nations." God said to Jeremiah, "Before I even formed you, I already had a plan for your life. already had a will for your life, already had a dream for your life, and God had given Jeremiah a dream, and God had given Jeremiah a plan, and he had a plan for his life. What was it? It was to be a prophet among the nations. But in the midst of trying to live his God-given dream, in the midst of trying to do the will of God, he got tired of fighting. Jeremiah got tired of fighting, and he got tired of conflict, and he got tired of being in prison, and he got tired of preaching on, and it fell on deaf ears, and nobody seeming to care. And Jeremiah got discouraged. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, I want you to turn here quickly with me. Hold your place here. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah is discouraged. Jeremiah is just tired of the fight. He's tired of all the stuff that's been going on. He's tired of trying to preach and nobody listening. And Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. You know what Jeremiah said? I'm giving up on the dream. I'm giving up on God's plan for my life. I'm giving up on God's will for my life. But thank God the verse does not end there. But Jeremiah said, but his, what is it, class? Word. But his word. It's like a fire. But his word was like a fire. Shut up into my bones. And I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what happened? Jeremiah got encouraged by the word. Jeremiah couldn't quit because of the word. There's another man, the Bible tells us, by the name of David, at the lowest point in his life, one of the lowest points in his life, and David is at Ziklag, and they came and they burnt Ziklag with fire, and they've taken all the spoils, and they've taken all their wives, and they've taken all his men's wives, and they've taken all their stuff, and they've burned the city with fire, and as they come back, and David's there, and his own men begin to blame him. It's always the leader's fault. And the Bible says that his own men spake of stoning him. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You say, well, how do you do that? Don't ever forget he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. Don't ever forget that it was David that wrote, thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't ever forget it was David that said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Don't ever forget it was David that said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Don't forget that it was David who says in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 10 and 11, he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Teach me thy statute. God's word. David said about God's word in Psalms 19, he says, more to be desired are they. What? God's word than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them, watch this, there is great reward. Well, I'm going to tell you, David made it through by God's word. All the patriarchs and the prophets and all these great men of God of the Bible, I'm going to tell you how they made it through. They encouraged themselves by God's word. It was Job there as he's been, had everything taken away. In a span of 24 hours, Job was reduced from a rich man full of all these things, 10 children and a wife and a house and all the goods and all the cattle and all the gold, all the silver. Job had all those things. And in a span of 24 hours, he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his finances. And Job is reduced to sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He's reduced to poverty. He's got boils from the head, top of his head, to the bottom of his feet. And as Job sit there, and he says in chapter number 23, around verse number 9, Job says, I look forward, but he is not there. He said, oh, that I knew where that I might find him. He's looking for God. It didn't seem like he can find God. He said, I looked forward, but he is not there. Behold, I turned and looked behind me, Job 23:10, but I cannot perceive him. He hideth me on the left hand, but I cannot behold him. He says, he searched for me on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he said this, he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And Job, as he was sitting there in those sackcloth and ashes, he was in the worst place in his life, and he seemed he could not find God. And Job says this in Job 23 and verse number 12, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That word esteem means place higher. He said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Why? Because I want to tell you something. When you're down and out, and when you get to the position where you don't know which way to turn, when it seems like all your hopes and dreams have been flushed down the drain, when you're at your wit's end, when you don't seem like you can go on another step, you need something more than physical nourishment, but you're going to need some spiritual nourishment. And I tell you something, Job needed a lot of it. Hence, Job says, I've esteemed the words of his mouth even more than my necessary food, more than that which it takes to sustain my life. I need the word of God. He lost everything. And he understood the only way he'd be encouraged is by God's word. The Bible says here, the Lord spake to Abram in a vision. Now understand this. No man's seen God at any time. The Bible says that, John 4:24, God's a spirit. No man has seen the Lord at any time. In other words, he's not contained in a physical body except when he took upon flesh and become the Christ, the God-man through Jesus Christ. Therefore, when God spoke to people in Bible times, he typically revealed himself through a vision or through a dream and those things. And so, look with me in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 12 quickly. Chapter 15, verse 12, the Bible says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. See that? And lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. The Lord began to give him a vision and a dream. The Lord would speak to people in those days through visions and through dreams. And after all, they didn't have the full canon of scriptures like you and I have. They didn't have the complete word of God. But don't ever forget that God wants to communicate with mankind. He communicates with us through many things. He communicates through us through creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory. He communicates to us through creation. The very heavens declare, that means it's, they herald, they speak of the glory of God. He communicates with us through conscience. The Bible says he's written his law upon the table of our hearts. How is it that we know that when we do wrong? Because he's written his law upon the table of our hearts. He communicates with us through conscience. He communicates with us through both the written word and the living word. You say, well, I could never be a visionary and I could never know what God's will is for my life, what God's dream is for me, because God's never spoken to me in a vision or a dream like he did Abram. Do you realize how much better you have it, how much better I have it than Abram had it? We have the mind of Christ. Because we have his spirit, because we have his word. You realize how much better you have it than Abram had it? God will speak to you, and God wants to speak to you, and he will speak to you every single day through his word. Every day. You and I have a much greater revelation from God than Abram ever had. And what happens when we hear from God and we allow God to speak to us through his word is we're encouraged to keep on keeping on for God. How? We're encouraged by the scriptures. Paul said in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? Watch this, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Through comfort of the Scriptures. We're going to have to learn how to get comfort from the Scriptures. Oh, and it's there. He says we, through faith and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Boy, you get over there reading, reading all along that. He referenced it this morning, Psalms 121, and David says, I lift up mine eyes. You're going through a battle. I mean, you don't know which way to turn, and it seems like you've been pinned in a corner. And David said in Psalms 121, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber, neither sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. You go on and you begin to think about all the Bible passages that the sweet psalmist David written. Do you think that just came to him? You go there and you turn back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of Thine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'll tell you something, you get encouragement from the Lord in His Word. The best place you can go, Word of God. Word of God. The Word of the Lord came unto Abram after these things. After the trials, after the testings. If we're going to deliver on our God-given dream, number one, we got to expect our dream to be tested. We need to learn how to encourage yourself by God's Word. Thirdly, we're going to have to learn how to exchange our fear for faith. Look what the Bible says back in Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Watch what he says, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. Fear not, Abram. God's saying this, I am thy shield. Now I want you to understand, there are many things that Abram could have been fearful of. There are many things. Maybe he feared the problems. Maybe he feared the people. Maybe he was fearing the Babylonian kings who he had defeated before and when he went in and got Lot out of Sodom. Maybe he feared Pharaoh, who he lied to about Sarah being his sister. Whatever it was, Abram was afraid. And God knew that fear, I want to tell you, it wasn't really any of those things, but it was the fear of not being able to realize his dream, his God-given dream. It was the fear of wondering, is he going to really be able to realize his God-given dream? He's old. God knew that fear that Abram had, he says, fear not, Abram, could quickly kill his dream. And sometimes while trying to live the dream that God has for us, we begin to look around and things begin to look bleak. Sometimes while trying to go down the path that we believe God wants us to go and do the things we believe God wants us to do, it seems every way we look, it's a fearful situation and we can't see how it's all going to work out. We can't see how our dream will ever be filled and we become consumed by fear. And in order for us to move forward, I'll tell you something, it's going to take faith and it's going to take faith in God. Fear not, Abram. God said, I am thy fear or am thy shield. We're going to have to let go of our fear and grab a hold of faith in the Lord. He said, I am thy shield. David, in one of his greatest battles in Psalms 3, as he's running from his son, Brother Phil talked about it this morning, he's running from his son Absalom. He's in fear of his life, and he says this, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, There is no help for him in God. You know what David said? But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, thy glory and the lifter of mine head. God said, Abram, I am thy shield. He said, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. We need to exchange our fear of man for faith in God. There's been many a people that's allowed fear to kill their God-given dream. That's allowed fear to keep them from doing what God wants them to do. Don't give in to fear. Trust God. I want to tell you something tonight. He's your shield. He's your provider. He's your comforter. He's your refuge and strength. He's that very present help in a time of trouble. And as you're chasing your God-given dream, and fear begins to grip your heart. As you're chasing your God-given dream and fear begins to consume your soul. As you're chasing your God-given dream and fear begins to control our thoughts. That's when we got to remember He's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And when our fears are running high and our faith is running low, that's when we got to remember it's His strength that's made perfect in our weakness. God's strength. He said, I am thy shield. Despite our lack of faith, somebody's got to believe. Faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Somebody's got to remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm simply saying tonight, listen, in the midst of the battle, when you're immobilized by fear, don't dip your colors, don't quit on your dream, don't lose your vision, don't lose your vigor, but keep on moving forward by faith until you see the victory. We've got to let go of fear, and we've got to grab hold of faith. Fear not, Abram. God said, I am thy shield. Remember, you're a soldier in the Lord's army. And we need to stand in faith and we need to watch God fight for us. He said, I am thy shield. I want you to notice, not only do we need to expect our dream to be tested, encourage ourselves in God's word, exchange our fear for faith, but we need to embrace the reward that awaits us. Embrace the reward that awaits us. Watch what the Bible says. After these things, word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, chapter 15, verse 1, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, folks, I want to slow down a minute because this needs to hit somebody. Fear not, Abram, watch this. God says, God, I am thy shield. I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. What a great truth that by itself is. God said, you know what? I'm your reward. Huh? God said, I'm your reward. Not only we get the realization of our dream when we stay in, but we get to have a relationship with God. I don't know about you, but there could be no greater reward than the Lord Jesus. There could be no greater prize than the Lord Jesus. I mean, what more could you want? And He doesn't just say, I'll be thy reward, but He says, I'm thy exceeding. You know what exceeding means? Exceeding means it keeps getting better. Exceeding means it keeps getting, what did it say? It gets sweeter as the days go by. And God said, Abram, I'm thy exceeding great reward. It has a sense of goes beyond everything else. I'm thy exceeding great reward. What could ever be better than the Lord Jesus as our reward? We sing about it this way. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I would rather have Him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. And then the third verse, he goes in. He's fairer than lilies. Somebody better help me. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey right out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead. You know what He said? Abram, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Praise God. Thy exceeding great reward. And I want to tell you what will keep you going through the trials. And I want to tell you what will keep you going through the famines. And I want to tell you what will keep you going through the failures. And I want to tell you what will keep you going through the fears. And I want to tell you what will keep you going through the tears. And I want to tell you what will keep you going through even the prosperity and through the wars and through the fightings and all of it is understanding that God is our reward. Why do you think that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, for consider Him? Talking about Jesus. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Why? Lest you be weary and faint in your mind. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You see, he said, I'm my exceeding great reward. God's our exceeding great reward. The Hebrew word for shield means it denotes protection, which of course that's what a shield does. We understand it protects us in battle. But once again, the battle in which God wanted to protect Abram was not a physical battle. It was a spiritual battle. His battle in Satan. You don't believe me? Look with me here at verse number 2 of chapter 15. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. You know what's happening? Satan was on his shoulder. You know what, Abram? You ain't nothing. You ain't never going to have no... Listen, man, look how old you are. Look how old your wife is. And you're never going to have nothing. And he had a lapse of faith there. And Abram goes to God and he says, hey, God, what are we going to do here? You see, his battle was a spiritual battle. Turn with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It was a spiritual battle. He was battling Satan, who was telling him, you know what, you ain't never going to have a child. God's not going to do anything with your seed. And he had a spiritual battle on his hands. And you and I have a spiritual battle on our hands. Look at verse 12 of chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Other words, when the battle's over, you'll still be standing firm. Stand there. And what is the shield? What is the shield in our God-given armor? He said, I'm thy shield. What's the shield? Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In order for you and I to win the spiritual battle and realize our God-given dream, we're going to have to believe in things we can't see. We're going to have to believe in something that we cannot see. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. That's the shield in our God-given armor. He said, I'm thy shield. We got to have faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith he, talking about Abram. By faith he, talking about Abram, sojourned in the land of promise. That's Canaan land where we went. As in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Watch this. For he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abram kept his dream. And Abram kept going by believing what he could not see. By keeping his eye on an unseen city. It said he looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for heaven. And he kept his eyes on the mark. And you and I, if we're going to realize our God-given dream, I'm telling you tonight, we're going to have to keep our eyes on the mark, and we're going to have to believe in what we cannot see. Walt Disney's widow, most of you know, and many of you have been, no doubt, to Walt Disney World. But Walt Disney's widow was being interviewed after the completion of Disney World in Florida. Of course, Mr. Walt himself had been passed off the scene. And so the reporter remarked, he said, "Isn't it a shame that your husband never got to see this?" The lady, the wife looked at this man and she corrected him. She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "He did see it. That's why it's here." You see, if you and I are ever going to deliver on our God-given dream, we're going to have to believe in what we cannot see. The Bible says about Moses, great verse in Hebrews chapter 11 also, maybe verse 27, I don't remember. But it says about Moses, it says he endured having faith in what he could not see. He kept going. He kept enduring. He kept working. He kept moving by believing in what he could not see. We're going to have to believe in something bigger than ourselves. You see, we're too busy looking at what we can do. Abram said, "Man, God proved to me you're going to give me a child, because look, where I come from, 80-year-old people don't have children." We're going to have to believe in what we do not see. Because I want to tell you something. God's dream for your life is a whole lot bigger than your dream for your life. And if you want all God has for you, I want all God has for me, then we're going to have to believe in what we cannot see. You remember we begin the message learning that God's ultimate will for us is to bring glory to Him. The Bible says that's why He created us. That's God's purpose for us. I want you to listen to this in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abram. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." God's plan for our life, God's will for our life, ultimately the main thing is for us to bring glory to Him. How do we do that? The Bible says Abram brought glory to God by fulfilling his God-given dream. And if we're doing anything less, we're certainly not redeeming the time. And if we're doing anything less, we're not bringing glory to God. It says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." I want to bring glory to God with my life, don't you? I hope that you do. I want all God has for me, but you got to, listen, you're going to have to expect your dream to be tested. You're going to have to encourage yourself in God's Word. You're going to have to exchange whatever fears you have with faith, and you're going to have to embrace the reward that awaits you. Somebody's here, maybe up in, somebody may be here, and they may be up in years, and you're thinking, "Boy, I wish I could go back." It's too late. I'm too old. I wish I could go back and live the dream that God has for me. Verse 4 of chapter 12 tells us that Abram was 75 years old when God gave him his dream. You're never too old to begin to live your dream. You say, "But it's hard." Nobody's ever been successful at fulfilling their God-given dream with some hardship. I'm just going to tell you that. I believe with all my heart I'm living my God-given dream. What God wants me to do, I believe that with all of my heart. But it didn't come without some famines. It didn't come without some failures, and they're not over. It didn't come without some fears. It didn't come without some conflict. I had to learn to encourage myself in God's Word. But I can tell you this, through it all, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because you're never going to find true contentment in your life until you're doing the thing that God designed you to do. We're already wanderers in this pilgrim land. I understand that, but you're going to be even more of a wanderer, more like a vagabond, because you're not fulfilling your God-given dream. I want to live my God-given dream. Dottie Rambo has a song. Man, I wish somebody here could sing it and knew it. The song is called "Too Much to Gain, to Lose." Too many miles behind me, too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember that there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. And there's too many treasures, listen, awaiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Oh, she says, I crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water. And defeat is one word I can't use. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. And there's too many treasures that's waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Folks, we've come too far to turn back now. Let your life count for Jesus. Live your God-given dream. Let's stand for prayer. Your dream is not to...